Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Robert Ruiz, product management director responsible for strategy and business growth of several verification products at Synopsys. Robert has held various marketing and technical positions for leading functional verification and test automation products at various companies, including Synopsys, Nova Software, and ViewLogic Systems. He has more than 30 years of experience in advanced EDA technologies and methodologies, and spent several years designing ASICs. Welcome to the podcast, Robert.
Hey, Daniel. Thank you for having me.
First question, Robert, that I'd like to ask is, what originally brought you to the semiconductor industry? I mean, do you have a quick story you can share?
Sure. I guess I was destined ever since I was probably 3 or 4 years old. I used to like to do things with electricity. That includes sticking forks into the outlets and kind of sparking the wall around it. And so from a very young age, I always felt I wanted to be a scientist, but that's probably only because I didn't know what the word engineer was. So I've always been interested. Had a TRS-80 computer, went on to get my electrical engineering degree, and was quite happy to start as a ASIC designer.
Great, yeah. I mean, who hasn't stuck a fork into an electrical socket? I mean, I think we all have.
That's right. I don't recommend it.
You know, one of my sons did it. I thought it was so funny. My wife didn't agree. So anyway, and what brought you to Synopsys?
Yeah, let's see. So as I mentioned, I originally was an ASIC designer and enjoyed that very much. I feel designers are people who have to be very creative and quite happy with that. But the one aspect that I wasn't getting was interaction with more people, not beyond the engineering team. And so I moved over to a EDA company called Sunrise Test. I first started off in the ATBG and DFT, and that company was acquired by ViewLogic. And then Synopsys eventually acquired ViewLogic. And then at some point, I decided to try verification, particularly at Novus and with their Verdi Debug product, and then came back. People asked me to come back into the DFT world and tried that for a little bit and moved over to verification, where I've been enjoying interacting with the engineering teams and customers.
Yeah, verification is an exciting market. It's probably one of the most expanding businesses in regards to people and EDA software, because things are getting so complex. But can you give us a quick update on the state of debug and its impact on verification?
Sure. And you're right, Daniel, about the complexity aspect. In fact, what we're seeing is that as designs become much more complex, that they are impacting verification specifically in the area of debug. And what we're hearing from directly from customers, as well as surveys, is that about 35% of the verification cycle is spent on debug. In fact, some customers have told us that's a bit too low. They think it's actually closer to the 40%. Then if you combine that with kind of the other main problem, coverage closure, which is about 35% cycle, now you're at 75% of the verification cycles for debug and coverage closure. So it's getting a bit more difficult. We're seeing as a result then that the first time right silicon has dropped to below 50%. And then most of the reasons to do a respin has been because of logic bugs. It's not because of timing and other reasons, but mainly logic bugs. That's the primary reason to do a respin. With that said, you know, people are typically using what I did when I was an ASIC designer way back, and that's look at the waveforms. That's certainly the go-to. It's in high use. But of late, we're seeing adoption of new technologies being rolled out for debug. So debug's a growing problem, and we see adoption of newer technologies.
Yeah, I think debug is a huge challenge. So what types of new debug technologies offer the biggest productivity gains for verification teams?
I'd like to cover a couple, or briefly mention a couple of areas. One is an IDE, or integrated development environment, we see as an ability to catch bugs in real time as people write in their code. So catch the bug up front. Another is verification management systems, which have typically been used for running regressions, but we see an opportunity to tie in debug into that to help run and produce more data for debug. Certainly AI, which of course I think everybody is always wondering how AI can help improve their jobs, particularly in semiconductor design. We see opportunities for AI to improve productivity, particularly around the area of binning the massive amount of log messages coming out, fail log messages, and putting them to appropriate buckets to help decide where to start debug. There's also new engines that can focus on the DUT, or it can focus on the test bench, or on X sources. Other areas include collaboration. So debug has not typically been an area of collaboration. It's bring over the debug expert when there's a team having a problem. And so there's technologies that we've introduced that help with collaboration, help spread the knowledge on debug. And one last thing I'll mention, tend to not mention this often, but debug is often a very interactive process, and it's very user oriented, more so than many other 8A tools. So some other technologies or related technologies is just the design and the interface of the GUI itself. And there's areas where we've made massive changes on the GUI to help improve for productivity. So those are the main areas that we see biggest opportunity for productivity gains.
Can you talk a little bit more in detail about the need for IDEs and their popularity?
Yes. So again, IDE stands for Integrated Development Environment. And there's something quite interesting I'm noticing about the engineering demographics. And that is new college graduates actually want this type of environment. So new college graduates typically have some C programming as part of their curriculum. And what they typically use is Microsoft Visual Studio Code. My daughter received a CS degree. I know I mentioned that to her. She said, oh yeah, that's what everybody used. And that is usually someone's first experience with an IDE if they're going into a STEM field or engineering field. So they're used to this environment. You know, when I was designing, I was used to VI and Emacs. I know a lot of engineers are still used to that. But if we look at the more recent graduates over the last 5 to 10 years, they're used to having some type of a more structured development environment to be very productive. And that all makes sense. There's a massive amount of code that has to be written. There needs to be consistency as teams become spread out globally. And IDEs help a lot to do that. Now, the other thing IDE provides is real-time checks. So do the bug checking, make sure that the code is correct before it impacts something downstream and caught later. So the bugs can be fixed earlier or in real time. And by the way, once a bug is found, maybe with Verdi or a debug tool, usually there's a good tie-in to go back to the IDE to find to the exact part of the RTL code that is contributing to the debug problem. So IDEs are growing in popularity and they have good tie-ins with debug.
What about the new debug root cause analysis engines and their effectiveness? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this is an area where we able to see several orders of magnitude of improvement. So as I mentioned, debug tends to be a very interactive experience, but there are areas where it's not necessary for the user to, you know, push button or trace back signals or look at waveforms. And in this area, I will refer to them as engines that can focus on specific bugs in certain aspects. For example, we've introduced an engine that focuses on test benches. And it does that by ignoring any issues around the DUT, maybe focuses on some transaction level communication in the test bench. And therefore, we'll focus on bugs and source within the test bench itself. We also offer an engine for the complement of that for the DUT itself. Well, it will filter out messages to the test bench. One very popular engine we've introduced is an X root cause analysis engine, which Helps a lot because X's are quite difficult to do root cause analysis, right? The X values propagate everywhere. It becomes difficult to figure out where the start point is. But we use some AI techniques to remove what we call the noisy X's and to really pinpoint the source, both the location as well as the point in time in which the X began. And what we're seeing is rapid adoption of these engines. They run in batch mode. And they're producing in the order of about 10 to 60x improvement in productivity. As an example, MediaTek uses several of our engines and our AI capabilities, and they say they're reduced their debug times on some designs from days to minutes. So this is an area where it's batch mode, and it's very specific and getting huge improvement.
What type of ecosystem exists for Verde?
Yeah, so debug needs to tie into actually a lot of aspects of the EDA flow and vice versa. And what users have consistently told us is they want this single environment. And if you think about it, simulation engines or simulators, they're the producer or engine of raw data for debug. So the ecosystem needs to take care of all of these engines, whether it's a simulator, whether it's a set of different simulators, whether it's emulators or prototype devices that are producing a lot of data, the users want the single experience for debug. So give data, but still use the same environment to determine where the bugs are. So the ecosystem for Verde is very important, and it's been organically growing, not only for Synopsys tools itself, of course, which you can tie in to the likes of ZeBu emulation or VCS Simulator or VC Formal, our static Spyglass tools, but also with third-party tools, because it can tie into a common signal database referred to as or called the FSDB database, which Verde utilizes. Now, in addition to verification engineers, we find a huge fan of Verde tend to be RTL designers. That's one of the first tools that they bring up. And so we have recent tie-ins to our RTL Architect, for example, which is really more for RTL front-end design and not so much for verification. There's an interesting experience, and I have some direct experience with customers on ATBG. So ATBG engineers tend to run tools on the gate level view of a design. And when they find a problem, they take it to an RTL designer, and the RTL designer has no idea what that particular AND gate or OR gate is. But with the likes of Verde, it's possible now to tie that gate level node back to the RTL code. So we see the ecosystem growing organically within Synopsys and also with third parties. It's because users want a single point environment to debug issues.
And what was the motivation to refresh the GUI for Verde?
As I mentioned, right, Verde is one of the more interactive tools for EDA. People are very particular about the interface and their experience with it, and makes sense, right? Because as we have our phones and we customize our phones, or we may customize our laptop desktop windows, people want to customize the GUI. So the GUI is definitely heavily used, and we want to make sure that it's implemented in a way that improves the productivity of the users. So there's a couple things that we focused on. We took a massive effort last year. And using input from ergonomics experts, decide to do a massive refresh. Still give it a good classic look if one wants to. So we gave it this very clean look. We eliminated unneeded shadows. We improved the resolution of icons. There are fonts that can be ambiguous. I know when I type with some default fonts, for my email, I can't tell if it's a capital I or a lowercase l, but some smart fonts were used that prevent ambiguity. We've enabled a user with the ability to choose regular mode or bright mode. There's a lot of users who like dark mode. We want to make sure that they have this consistent experience with other applications that they might be using. And we also know that a lot of users are using higher resolution monitors. We know some of our users have specifically told us they're using 4K monitors and want to make sure that we support that. So to improve productivity, to improve the look and feel, to keep eyes from getting tired and to make things a more natural flow, we did this massive refresh and we're getting very good positive feedback on it.
Great. Last question. With all the recent talk about AI, you know, I was at the Synopsys user group meeting and it was all about AI. What lies in the future for AI and debug?
Well, as you mentioned, right, Synopsys is taking the lead in AI by beginning to discuss it, both in news and at our user events. And we certainly see a lot of opportunities for AI and debug. We expect that AI can eventually provide results much faster. For example, using natural language, instead of having to type in commands, just ask Verdi using natural language on when a value became 5.5. And when that became 5.5 and this other error message appeared. So there are a couple of different areas that we expect productivity improvement. One is just using natural language, which we believe is a faster way for input. And we even believe that there's this opportunity to have the IDE portion generate some RTL code, or at least give the opportunity to complete the RTL code for the user. So as I mentioned, IDE is this development environment, but because it's doing real-time checking, it's also doing instant or real-time debugging of the code. And in that aspect, we see it, the ability to generate RTL code using some natural language prompts on that too. So the future is very exciting for AI and debug, as well as across all of Synopsys.
Yeah, I agree completely. Great conversation, Robert. Nice to meet you, and hopefully we'll see you at an upcoming conference.
All right. Thanks a lot, Daniel. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.